بسم الله والابن والروح القدس الاله الواحد امين.
Today the reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark and it is from chapter 3 from verse 22 to 35. It talks today about how the Lord Jesus Christ, he healed the man who was demon possessed, he cured him from the evil spirit, and the scribes and the Pharisees, they came, and the first thing that came out of their mouth is that the Lord must be a demon himself, that's how he's able to cast demons out. And the Lord refuted that argument by saying that, you know, a house against itself cannot stand. And he gave a parable about you have to go inside of a strong man's house, you have to tie him down to take his goods. Then he talked about a very famous verse, which is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the only sin that's unforgiven. And then the story goes that his brothers and his mother come looking for him, and our Lord Jesus Christ points at the people and he said, anybody who does the will of God is my brother and my mother. And when Father Yunan asked me to talk today about this gospel, I started reading it a couple of days ago, a couple of times, and it has a lot of things that we can talk about. We can talk about how our Lord Jesus Christ is able to make miracles. We can talk about he's able to say that famous verse, a kingdom is divided against itself, cannot stand. One of the most famous verses that a lot of politicians and presidents use. President Lincoln himself used it during the Civil War when the country was divided. We can talk about how he, you know, talked about the unforgiven sin. A lot of people always think about that sin. Well, during my life, I had blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that this sin for me is unforgiven or not? But as I kept reading about it, the gospel, one word kept sticking out every time I read it. And that word is Beelzebub. Every time I read it, it's Beelzebub. Every time I read it, it sticks out. And me and my Sunday school class, for the whole summer, we were fortunate to study the Gospel of St. Mark. And I remember when me and the girls, every Friday, we'd come and we'd study. Every time we'd come to this chapter and we would read it, and we would come to this word, Beelzebub, they would all start laughing, they would start making fun of the word, Beelzebub, Beelzebub, and they thought it was a very ironic word and a funny word. So I wanted to go and research this word and see what it's about exactly. And the word is actually broken down into two parts. It's Beelzebub. Baal is the king. He is the Lord. From the Old Testament, we hear about the idol Baal, where people used to go in his temple and they used to worship his name. And the second word, Zubab, is a Hebrew name and it's also an Arabic word, means flies. So Beelzebub is Lord of the Fly. And if you want to research that word and try to find out exactly where that word came from, it shows up in the book of Kings. So that word, actually, Beelzebub, it's broken down into two parts, and it means it showed up in the book of Kings. It started out when the king in Azaharia, he had fell down, and he had injured himself. He had a very hard fall. And what he decided to do, he decided to send messengers to go talk to King, to Beelzebub, the idol, to see if he's going to be cured or not. And Elijah the prophet went to him later and told him, since you actually seek the counsel of, you know, idols and you did not seek the counsel of God, you will surely die. And this name, Beelzebub, is the name of the devil himself. And the devil has many, many names that we know by. I mean, a lot of people, some of us call him Lucifer. Other people call him Satan. Other people call him Beelzebub. He's mentioned as Legion in some of the books. However, he has numerous names. In the Bible itself, there's about over 50 names that they call the devil or describe him. And I decided to go in the Bible and just pull out a sample of some of the names for you. Some of these names are, you have Abaddon, accuser of our brethren, adversary, he's the angel of light, angel of the bottomless pit, he's known as the Antichrist, Beelzebub, Belial, crooked serpent, devil, dragon, enemy, father of lies, god of this world, and the list goes on and on and on. There's actually, I could have filled about maybe 5 pages of these names. I just wanted to give you some of the examples. Levisian, liar, Lucifer, lying spirit, murderer, old serpent, piercing serpent, power of darkness, prince of the devil, prince of the power of the air, prince of this world, roaring lion, ruler of this world, and also Satan. And this creature who is, you know, a lot of people, we hear about him, we talk about him, we mention him in, you know, our language without even recognizing it. We sometimes, in our daily conversation, we bring his name up without even knowing about it. I could go home right now, put on my favorite suit, put on my best tie, my best shirt, and I would look so great. And I would walk inside the church or go to work or anything, and the first thing people are gonna say, "Oh, you handsome devil." That's part of the language that they use. They now describe the devil as somebody who's handsome, somebody who's a good thing. I sometimes, if I see somebody who's doing, you know, going through hard tribulations, going through hard time, and I feel sorry for him, I'll look at him and say, "You poor devil, you know, he's going through a rough time." So now we're using the word devil as we're feeling sorry for some people. Or if somebody's trying to give me a good advice, somebody's trying to tell me to walk the right way, and I don't like what I'm hearing, I'll look at him and say, "Who the devil do you think you are?" We start bringing the devil now that he is actually a good thing. Even in Arabic, we sometimes, if we see a, you know, a soccer player or a little kid who's running fast and he's very good at what he do, you know, the afrit sughayr, the what shaitan, we use all these little words without even realizing that we're actually complimenting this person by using the word the devil himself. And the devil, I mean, another example, I could actually walk outside this church. I can go in the parking lot. I can make a right in the shopping center where Randall's is. First right, I'll take 4 steps inside Randall's, and I'll find the table. And on that table, all I see is some cakes. $3.99, very plain cakes with nothing on them, that nobody buys them, and they're called angel cake. The cake that's called angel cake, nobody wants to buy. It actually even stays there all night, and if you come the next day, it's on clearance, 50% off, and still nobody's gonna buy that cake. We're ashamed to go get that cake. But if I go and walk 4 more steps, I'll see a display of glass, and inside of it, there's this cake, chocolate, strawberries, and we call it the devil's chocolate cake, the $19.99 devil chocolate cake that everybody wants to buy and take to people. So even the mentality of the nature of the world itself, that, you know, the angels, something cheap, it comes so easy for us. The devil, so expensive, we gotta pay a lot of money to be able to get him. So we need to always concentrate on that. And when we think of the devil himself, I mean, we open the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis itself does not tell us the story of the devil. All we hear about is we have, you know, Adam and Eve, and here comes the serpent, and, you know, he makes them fall in sin. So who is this devil? Who is this creature that we're intrigued by and we talk about all the time? His story is actually mentioned. That we'll first describe who he is. God actually did not create him, you know, as a devil. We all know that he was an angel at the beginning. But he was not just a regular angel. He was one of the cherubim. God said about him, "You were the anointed cherub who covers." So when God talks about the devil and he said, "You're a cherub," he's actually saying, "You're not just any regular angel." In angels, there are categories. We can say we have an angel, we have an archangel, we have principalities, we have dominions, we have powers, and then we have the seraphim, and then we have the cherubim. And the cherubim is the highest of all the angels. He was the one who would stand in front of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he would have 6 wings. He would take 2 wings, he would cover his face, 2 wings, he would cover his hand, and 2 wings, he would cover his feet. He had the glory of standing in front of our Lord all the time, and in front of God, looking at him constantly. So he was the highest of angels. And look at what God said about his qualities. He said, "You were the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Imagine that. Imagine the devil was perfect and full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And God said about him, "I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God, and you walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones." And then he goes on and says, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created." God created him in a perfected image until what happened? Until iniquity was found in him. Pride started working in his mind. Imagine if all of us were standing in front of God all the days of our life, and we cannot even look at His glory, that we have to cover our faces and our hands and our feet. But this angel somehow found a way that he wanted to be as high as God. What did he say? He said, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." And he wanted to sit on the mountain of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And finally he said, "I will be like the Most High." And it was said of him in the book of Ezekiel, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. However, you corrupted your wisdom for the sake of the splendor." And so because of that splendor, and he wanted that beauty, he actually fell. And when he fell down, he took with him many other angels. So now we have the devil, and we have his little workers, the demons, who do his work. And the word devil itself, the Latin from that word, means Diablo. It's one of the most, probably the best-selling video game ever made, is after the name the devil himself, called Diablo. And he is actually fighting us every day of our life. And when we think about it, by ourselves, we have no chance against the devil. A person, he lives on this earth for about maybe 80 to 100 years, God willing, and we get experience living those 80 years. We have this devil, this creature, for 7,000 years. He's been fighting the human being. He's been gaining experience, getting more intelligent, starting to learn ways of what to do and all that. So here, it's kind of a lost battle if I'm just going against this devil on my own. And there's a very good book that Pope Shenouda had wrote. It's called Diabolic Wars. And this book is pretty much talking about the devil, how strong he is, how resilient he is, how intelligent he is, and how unrelentless he is. I mean, if we look at examples of the things he was able to do, he by himself was able to cause destruction in the whole world except for 8 people during the flood. He caused the sin to all these people. Imagine only 8 people were able to survive, and everybody lost that battle because of this devil. We see an example of Sodom and Gomorrah, 2 huge cities filled with people. Because of this devil, they were also fell down. We look at the most wonderful saints that we know about. We know David, he fell. Solomon, the wisest of all, he started worshiping idols also. So I'm not trying to scare you that, you know, all these people are able to fall and so on, and then we're going against the devil and we have no chance. When you read the book of Pope Shenouda, after that, the last part of the book, it starts talking about what you can do to fight the devil. Some of the steps that he mentions over 18 steps. He talks about things, first of all, you have to realize that the devil is among us. That's the first thing you have. Some people sometimes deny it. Oh, what devil? He can't play with my mind and so on. If you, first of all, realize that there is a devil, and then second, you realize that he's stronger than you, and then thirdly, you realize that you must have God with you all the time to be able to fight this devil. I think St. Paul himself kind of put it best when he said this verse. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." So you have to put this whole armor of God. This whole armor is the prayers, the fasting, the reading of the Bible, the confession, participating in those 7 sacraments we have in the church. All these are the different armors that we have to put on to be able to defeat this Satan, to be able to defeat this Beelzebub. And glory be to God forever. Amen.